So we're self-convening this afternoon. I think we're ready to get started. This presentation is entitled Unified Communications, How We Got There and Save Money Doing It. My name is Kathy Horvath. I'm the Director of IT at Minot State University.
I'm Tufan Simhai. I'm Chief Information Officer at Lake Region State College.
I'm Darren Olson. I'm Systems Administrator for Minot State University.
So we're going to be talking about unified communications, but it's going to be a little bit of a different perspective. From Minot State University's perspective, and we're going to have the bulk of the information, it is Microsoft's unified communication. Tufan is going to, you know, bring into the conversation their deployment of Cisco in terms of their voice over IP deployment and some of their unified communications. So as we said, the focus of our coordinated presentation today is communications. For both Minot State University and Lake Region State College, the paths we charted to streamline communications on our campuses were certainly different and not always easy. But we are extremely satisfied with our individual outcomes, and we would like to share some of our experiences with you. Minot State University is located in Minot, North Dakota, a city with approximately 36,000 residents. The university has evolved from a normal school to a Carnegie Master's One institution. It is the third largest higher education institution in the state. This fall, 3,866 students are enrolled at Minot State, up 6% from final numbers in 2009.
Lake Region State College is located in Devils Lake, North Dakota. It's a community of 7,000 residents. It's a two-year community college, and we have about 2,000 students this year from 40 states and 14 different countries. We have 175 students living on campus in the resident halls, and we also have a degree programs that we offer at the Grand Forks Air Force Base.
Okay, so in 2008, Minot State University began looking at options to upgrade our telephone system. Here are some of the challenges that we were up against. The PBX equipment was aging, circuit boards and messaging for voicemail were at end of life, and there were high annual maintenance costs and equally prohibitive upgrade protection fees. At the same time, voice and data were converging and solutions entering the market promised to unify communications between individuals and groups and at a lower cost of capital and operations. Several considerations set in motion Minot State's decision to explore Microsoft's unified communications as the means to integrate telephone-based tasks such as phone calls, voicemail, and conferencing with computer-based tasks such as email, calendaring, and instant messaging. A key opportunity in our discussion was to not renew the expiring maintenance contract on our existing PBX. That would free up funding for a unified communications pilot. Now, just for reference, early on in our discussions, we did consider sticking with our existing PBX. That would have required substantial software upgrades, but not a forklift of all this supporting hardware and infrastructure. When we looked at the cost projections needed to stay the course, it was fairly obvious to us that the elimination of upgrade costs and the upgrade protection fees, coupled with the maintenance savings we could recover over time, would create a reserve that we could tap into in order to head in a different direction. What you see on this slide are the projected costs to get to a via modular messaging, which, of course, allows for voice, email, and fax messages to be stored in one system. The actual reserve amount that became available for our pilot was approximately $238,000. And we'll discuss where those cost savings came from in a slide coming up here shortly. So let's go back to our opportunities slide. Minot State already had an established and proven Microsoft-based foundation, including Active Directory for user identity management and Microsoft Exchange for email and calendaring. And we have one of the best IT staff in state higher education who manage the changeover. We also watch closely industry progress snapshots published by the Gartner Group. Now, Gartner is an information technology research and advisory firm. From an industry perspective, Microsoft was in 2008 and continues to be, as of July 2010, a leader in Gartner's Magic Quadrant for Unified Communications. This measurement is a strong indicator of the quality and maturity of Microsoft's systems to support enterprise communications. This was especially important for our campus because of Microsoft's licensing agreements for higher education. MSU's partnership with Microsoft provides significant pricing discounts on all server and desktop applications and allows us to easily and affordably standardize on software, including Microsoft Office and Microsoft Outlook. Do you have any comments on that? Okay, so going forward, we identified a number of reachable objectives and cost savings initiatives. We decided to downsize our voice system to reduce overall costs. To make the most of our investments by leveraging our existing Active Directory infrastructure. As a directory service, it enables interoperation across multiple organizations running either their own local AD or other standards-based directory services. For example, organizations can share access to a global address list or an address book, allowing anyone within the linked organizations to easily look up a contact's email address or phone number, then simply click to call or click to email. We also hope to eliminate device dependency and provide a consistent user interface. For example, Microsoft Outlook looks the same and delivers the same messaging experience on a computer, smartphone, BlackBerry, and many other IP-enabled devices. We wanted to unify across all communications in a manner that is user-friendly, easy to manage, and with lower overhead. So our collective cost savings from our pilot came from eliminating, first of all payphones on campus, and we replaced those basically with courtesy phones in key locations, like activity venues, athletic events, that type of thing. We actually canceled a budgeted PBX upgrade and overtook those costs to redirect towards our unified communications pilot. We discontinued our PBX upgrade protection plan. We eliminated residence hall voicemail and TDM ports to reduce monthly maintenance costs.
Okay. At Lake Region State College, we took a different approach. We're a very small campus, and at the time of going to Unified Communications, there was myself and two technicians overseeing the IT department, and that was it. So our plates were already full. We don't have the depth within our department to do this on our own. So we partnered with Cisco and with a local vendor, Corporate Technologies, to help us with the implementation. When we did this, when we looked at Unified Communications, we wanted to do it because at that current time, we were not even supporting our own telephone system. When a person came on board on campus or someone moved from one office to another office, our process was that the secretary to the president would call a company in East Grand Forks, which was 100 miles away. They would send a service technician out to our campus to make those adjustments in the telephone system and provide email or voicemail for the new person. And then they'd go back, you know, to their office. And inevitably, there are times when something went wrong, they didn't complete the job, they'd have to drive 100 miles back and try to fix it again. So you can see that that process would take quite, you know, it'd take days. And we wanted to change that so that it, you know, would take, you know, less than an hour to do. And we could, you know, give somebody a phone or change their office or things like this. We needed to do these things for efficiencies. And when we looked at, you know, taking on the Unified Communications, you know, one of my concerns was that because my department was small, we didn't have the manpower to, you know, do one more thing on top of the things that we were already doing. But I was assured that, you know, with the help of Corporate Technologies implementing this force, that we could take it over and run it ourselves, and, you know, it wouldn't take that much time. You wouldn't need any more help and things like this. And so it's like, okay, I can do it. And, you know, the benefits were definitely there. One of the things that I see from the side is that, you know, it's all about service. It's about the service to our customers so that they can get a phone on their desk when they need it. It's a service in terms of functionality. You know, people are no longer tethered to their desks. They want phone service wherever they are. And with unified communications, that's possible. I was sitting out on my balcony just, you know, yesterday morning, and one of the faculty members called me and, you know, assumed that I was in my office. But because my office, you know, phone also rings on my cell phone, and I answered it and could take care of her, you know, she really didn't care where I was. She got her problems, you know, addressed, and that's what was important. And that's what's important to our students as well. When they call in, they want their questions answered immediately. And with this system, you know, one of the features that you have is presence. So if someone calls the registrar's office, you can see, well, this person is already on the phone, and therefore, instead of transferring it to that person and getting it a voicemail, you transfer it to somebody else in the department who can actually take that call. And oftentimes when students call in, they have more than one question. So it allows you also to conference in, you know, somebody from a different, you know, maybe from financial aid or whatever, to answer that student's calls, so the calls can get addressed, you know, in one call rather than several calls along the way. So we decided that, you know, service to our customers was very important. In terms of cost savings, you can see that, you know, for the service technician to drive 100 miles is going to cost, you know, extra money. And if we can save on those kinds of costs and bring it in-house, that would be good. And one advantage of this, too, was, you know, a lot of larger institutions, they already have a department that does telecommunications, you know, on campus. And then to move it from there to the IT department is a big cultural change. So we were lucky that we didn't have to worry about those kinds of changes. And then the other thing that I wanted to do was that I wanted to be able to link up the Air Force Base, which is 80 miles away, and that's a long-distance phone call for us. But I wanted to link them to our phone system so that it would be like a local call, so that they, you know, because they we have three people at the Grand Forks Air Force Base, and they do all the student services functions down there. But a lot of times, you know, they have to be on the phone with the main campus. So to eliminate all those long-distance phone calls was a big accomplishment as well. And we did that as phase two of our rollout. And this is a diagram that shows how the Cisco system is set up on our campus. One of the things that was important when we did our rollout was that the president and the VPs, of course, their concern is, well, what happens when the internet is down? You know, you're going to move us to, you know, digital phones and, you know, voice over IP and all those things. But, you know, we know sometimes it's, you know, internet goes down. So we do have analog gateways so that if it's not if, it's when it goes down. It has gone down at least once so far. The phone system rolls over to the analog system and the phones continue to work. And people really don't even realize that anything happened. So there is security in terms of that. And like I said, we added the Grand Forks Air Force Base in. And one of the nice things with that was that at the Air Force Base, because the Air Force was providing the phone service before, I really didn't ever think about what kind of phone service they had. And I found out they didn't even have voicemail. So they thought that was wonderful to gain voicemail even. And then on top of that, they got caller ID, so now they know who's calling too. And so they've been absolutely thrilled with it. And with this connection that we have, it also gives them VPN access into the campus. And so that provided them with shared storage on our file server as well. So now they can save their documents on our server and they can collaborate much better with the people on the main campus. And so that's been another added feature of our system. And one of the things that prompted me to do this is the cost that I was presented with. When we made this change to Unified Communications, We were planning on doing a upgrade to our land. We were going to make our backbone to 10 gig, and we were also going to implement the end standard wireless across campus, a secure wireless system. So we had that project already, you know, in the plans. That's what I was planning to do. And then our Cisco rep said, well, why don't you add in Unified Communications? I know that, you know, it would benefit your campus. And I said, oh, you know, one more thing on top of all of this. And he said, well, we'll make it worth your while. And so they did, as you can see on this side, they gave us, you know, $28,000 Unified Communications incentive and some credit for trade-ins and things like this. So when you factored it out and the Unified Communication piece costs $54,000, it's like, yeah, I'm interested. You know, I want to do this. And our president saw value in it as well, and so we decided to move ahead with the project. And Kathy will talk some more about some of the features. And the features that you see in the Microsoft product are very similar and the same in our product. We have the soft phones on the computers. We have, you know, integration with video calls and instant messaging and, you know, all sorts of things. And it really has been a benefit to our campus.
Okay, so back to Minot State University. So basically, the decision to phase in voice over IP and unified communications was based on the desire to spread costs over multiple budget cycles, during which savings from eliminating PBX maintenance costs could be realized and redirected. In addition, new code releases were coming into production that provided additional stability and functionality on key servers that would be involved in our pilot. So two key components were purchased to begin piloting phase one, the deployment of Exchange Unified Messaging. A storage array was purchased for our email server to accommodate voice messages. Configuration and testing of unified messaging was made possible with the purchase of a voice over IP media gateway. In our case, we purchased the Audio Codes Mediant 2000. Now, this appliance interoperates with various legacy PBXs and enables cost-effective migration from a legacy PBX to a pure IP infrastructure. The Mediant offers simultaneous support of PBX connections to Microsoft Exchange Server 2007 and 2010, as well as to Microsoft Communications Server. This slide is kind of a depiction of configuring Exchange Unified Messaging, and if you're already an Exchange Enterprise system, if you have that for email and calendaring on your campus, basically either Exchange Management Shell or the Exchange Management Console can be used to enable unified messaging. Basically, you enable the unified messaging service to process unified messaging calls. You just you create a connection, of course, with your IP gateway. You need to have a hunt group to link incoming calls to a specific unified messaging dial plan. And you create a new dial plan to establish a link between the gateway, the hunt group, and your UM server to enable communication between all those components. And then basically, you have to enable unified messaging for each existing mail-enabled user. So basically, all of the users that were currently enjoying integrated email and calendaring, we just went in and enabled them for unified messaging. The diagram that you can see to your right basically illustrates the connectivity between the PBX, the IP gateway, and Exchange Enterprise environment. Just as a side note, when we deployed this, we were on Microsoft Exchange Server 2007. So that was our platform when we integrated voice. So we have since upgraded to Exchange 2010, and this is pretty much all that involved. You have to be at 2007 Service Pack 2, and then you deploy the Exchange Server first client access, hub transport, unified messaging, and then you move the mailboxes. So it was, do you have any comment on that, Darren? Was that a pretty easy upgrade?
Yes, it went pretty smooth. We did find some issues that they changed some things within unified messaging, so you have to make sure that your phone server supports that. But that gave us extra features as far as it translates voice to text and some personal auto-attendance menus. The screen just shows some more of what needs to be configured for each user. You have to enter in the telephone number, and that's how it knows which voicemail box goes to which user. And then you add the EUM addresses, so you can have multiple phone numbers for one person. And you can see we have three different dial plans that shows some other systems that she's going to be coming into. This shows both our analog PBX and our new voice over IP system, as well as some test systems.
So we're running them side by side. So basically, there are three formats or URI types, and the main purpose of a URI is to enable voice over IP devices to communicate with other devices using any specific protocols. E.164 is a standard numbering format used in the public switch telephone network. And so when you create a new dial plan, you have the option to create an E.164 dial plan. That's what you're seeing on the left is actually the AD properties for Kathy Horbath and the E.164 format for the telephone number. On the right, then, as Darren indicated, is an example from Exchange Management Council of the use of multiple Exchange dial plans to support multiple phone systems at the same time. So our on-campus 4 was just a testing dial plan. The analog extension is just a name used to designate a 5-digit dial plan for the Avaya PBX system. And then the ShoreTel 4 represents the 4-digit dial plan, and that's the direction that we decided to go, was the 4-digit dialing. So after unified messaging is set up, you must enable the various mailboxes for unified messaging. When you do, you're required to either provide a PIN for the mailbox or to tell the Exchange server to automatically generate a PIN. Then this PIN then is used when the user logs into Outlook voice access. After a mailbox has been enabled for unified messaging, the Exchange server sends a welcome to Exchange unified messaging message to the mailbox. This message confirms the user's extension and provides them with their PIN. Once the user has this information, they can use the Outlook voice access to interact with their mailbox over the telephone also. So here's just an example or screenshot of the Welcome to Exchange unified messaging message that they get in their email. So in the summer of 2009, Select staff was invited to participate in a pilot that involved moving their voicemail from the PBX-supported Intuity Audix to an integrated system. By January 2010, all users had been migrated to Exchange Unified Messaging. A single inbox for email, voicemail, calendar, with different icons referring to a particular message type. And I hope that you can see this, but there are different icons indicating whether it's an email, a voicemail, or a calendar setting. On our campus, all voice features, as opposed to Lake Region's deployment, all our voice features are Microsoft Exchange-based. So basically, in email, you just open a voicemail. You can listen to the message. You can play it in Outlook. Or you can play it on a phone. You can manipulate the message by adjusting the volume. You can start, stop, or pause the message at any point. Or you can start play from any point. You can reply to the message or forward it on to another contact. It's digitized. So, and also, as Darren explained, in Exchange 2010, the text of the voicemail is included along with the audio file. So the integration of voicemail with Exchange then extended the same functionality to a landline or any mobile device. So by calling a number, users are able to access voicemail, email, calendar, contacts. They can interact with the system ad hoc. So they can send messages in any format. They can return calls. They can change an appointment. So if you have a calendar, if you have an appointment that's set up in Exchange Calendar and you're running late and you're dialed into the system, you can say, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. It'll automatically send that out to your calendar, indicating that you will be late, and it'll update your calendar. It'll also send an email message to anybody else that's participating in that same event, letting them know that you're going to be late. So you can interact from any location with all of those different communications in any of those, whether it's email or voicemail, however you want to communicate. So what you see here is the Microsoft desktop Outlook client. You also get the same look and feel from Microsoft Outlook Web Access. Again, in this particular example, you can see that the voicemail is there, although the translation to text may not always be exactly what you want it to be, as we've worked from speech to text, it's not always 100% accurate, but it's still getting there.
It gets the message across.
This is also the same look of Outlook email integrated with on a mobile device. So I'm actually seeing the same. I can listen to the voicemail. I can see it in text. So I've really got the same user interface across any device or any Outlook that I'm using. Okay, so phase two, again, we tapped into reserves to purchase ShoreTel voice over IP test equipment to replace Avaya's call manager for local dial tone and access to outside trunks. So with the release of ShoreTel version 9 came full integration with Exchange Unified Messaging and Microsoft Office Communications Server, now known as Link Server. OCS is a real-time communication server for presence, instant messaging, file transfer, and audio-video web conferencing. So we have a quick demonstration of desktop or office communicator at the desktop.
All right, I'll show you a little bit about office communicator in case you haven't seen it before. Okay, so the key to our unified communications is presence. As you can see up here on the left, I'm set to available. If I was on a phone call, it would say on the phone. If I was in a meeting, it automatically changed my status to in a meeting, and it's going to show a little red dot. So when you're interacting between the company, you can see just at a glance if people are available or not to help you out or give immediate feedback. We found this incredibly useful for our help desk to get calls routed around to where they need to go. So we can click on a contact. We can see if somebody's in. If they're out, it's going to show their out-of-office message right here. We'll go into this person. From here, I can click to call, and it'll ring up their phone. I can start a video call. I can share my desktop. Also useful a lot for help desk. We can just instantly call up somebody's desktop screen and help them out right away without walking over to their building. We can invite other people into the conversation. So we can have multiple people into the call or into the video session or desktop sharing. We can do online training that way. You can send files. We can escalate to a live meeting. We can do PowerPoints and all that. So we'll do a quick call here to see if Neil's available to help us. Hello.
Hello.
So Neil's back in our Mitid office. We can do our little video session here and get our conferencing done without travel costs and other things associated with that. Another way for us to save some money. Can add in desktop sharing. It looks like he's actually helping somebody right now. So we
one minute.
So just because he's available doesn't mean they're actually always available. Must be all those Shortel boxes he got behind him. So we'll let Neil go. So that gives us access to local campus services pretty much wherever we're at. And I can also show you real quick just some of the things that she was talking about in the inbox. More than just showing the icon, it just gives you a quick overview of what it is without actually opening it. So usually, if you're like me, there's not a whole lot of time to look at your inbox, but you can just do a quick glance to see which are important and which aren't. Other time-saving features is there's your voicemail is right in there. You don't have to call in. And anywhere in this text preview where it's not always so clear, I can click right on that, and it'll start playing from that session.
No, I just realized, I think.
It's usually those phone numbers you have to listen to about 5 times. This way you don't have to listen to the whole thing again. You can just keep clicking on the phone number, and it'll just keep repeating it.
So Communicator is also available for the mobile device. So anytime we can just use our smartphone and we have Communicator, that we can do a lot of the same functionality. We can instant message or we can see presence. It really updates as well as what Darren just showed you from desktop Communicator. So basically Communicator is just the primary client application for a Microsoft Office communication server. It's just used extensively by our faculty and staff across campus to contact people based on their presence or real-time availability. We don't really have, as we were saying, we are pretty much Microsoft Exchange voice heavy. That's where our voice is at. We will add more voice over IP telephony features once our Avaya PBX is no longer a part of our current configuration. That kind of moves us to phase three. So to date, we've moved all our benefited employees to just a basic ShoreTel handset, just very low end. ShoreTel does offer a number of features from the phone handset and call manager software. We just have a graphic here. Once all users and services have been migrated, the Avaya PBX will be permanently shut down. Again, that's when voice over IP telephony features will then be added that we are unable to do now that we're kind of in a dual configuration. We expect to take down the Avaya PBX by the end of December. Do you have anything more to? I'm just going to go right to outcomes. Okay, so we basically decided not to plan our future around a legacy voice network. It would be foolish, though, at this point to pretend that legacy systems don't exist. I believe we are positioned well for the future with an IP telephony call processing system that provides traditional voice functionality, but it basically ends there. We have feature-rich tools that allow us to contact people based on their availability. Then we can decide whether we're in the office or traveling, the best way to communicate or collaborate, whether that's by email, voice, instant messaging, audio, video, or web conferencing. And we have a common interface for users and no device dependency. Now, we had some, you know, there are some infrastructure issues in terms of power, you know, switch reboots that are more prevalent in a data world. It's not the same phone system in terms of the five nines of reliability. And there can be some issues with voice quality, 911 location requirements and determination. We've worked with our local telco to provide those kind of updates. You know, we had the option of looking at voice over IP full-featured phone or office communications server with voice functionality, and we basically went with OCS with voice functionality. So what we have seen, we have significant reduction in communication costs just in, you know, annual licensing fees. We've dropped from $60,000 to $20,000 a year. We have central management of all voice, video, and data. We have a great communications network. It's just been accepted very well by all of our faculty and staff. Now, we do not provide any of these services for students. We have Active Directory integration, of course, for single login and password across all communications. This gives us an opportunity to federate applications across organizations so we can federate at some point across Exchange and OCS. We're standards-based now. There's no need for separate voice and data trunks. We're not locked into any proprietary hardware. You know, we're SIP-based, and we can take advantage of the reduced costs relative to that. And we do have device options also, so whether you want to just use your cell phone and communicate that from that cell phone, from a basic phone, from a computer only, all of those are options for our staff depending upon what their needs are.
Well, and the one thing, too, is in the future, one of the things that we want to do is also to link our two phone systems together so that we can call in between campuses without any long-distance phone calls either and save some money that way.
Okay, well, I think that ends our presentation. We appreciate your coming, and if you have any questions, we'll certainly entertain those. Yes.
We have a mixture of all devices on campus. We have Android, iPhone, BlackBerry, Windows Phone.
Yep. And for Lake Region, I think you had in your justification that you dropped cell phone and picked up Wi-Fi phones.
Well, for people that were using cell phones on campus, like our facility plant people, they would often have a cell phone that they would use during the day on campus while they were on the job, because you never knew where they were going to be. They weren't tied down to an office or anything. And so instead of using a cell phone and cell phone, you know, charges, they would just use a wireless Cisco phone.
Yeah, it's all through the network, whether it's to a ShoreTel phone, to OCS, or, and then if it's going to a cell phone, of course, it'll go to the ShoreTel system and then out to the public system to get to the cell phone. But all on-campus calls go just through the network.
Okay, and then if you call someone off-campus, someone not affiliated with the university, then and how does the phone work?
Currently, it goes to the telephone company, but we're in talks with linking up other universities in the state.
It goes through PBX, though, to get out there?
No, it just goes, the ShoreTel system has analog trunks to it,
okay.
And that's connected to the telephone system.
No,
both OCS and Unified Messaging both go to the Mediant at the same time. The ShoreTel is just to have a phone on the desk.
So. Okay, so OCS would route your outbound
calls. No, OCS would route outbound calls to ShoreTel, and ShoreTel is connected to the public telephone system. OCS itself doesn't have a link to the public telephone system. So we're using ShoreTel for our outbound call routing. The Mediant is for our legacy PBX or Avaya, and that's being phased out. You could connect the audio codes to the public telephone and use it for that too, but that's just not the way we did it since we were going with ShoreTel. The ShoreTel system?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a voice over IP PBX.
Mm-hmm. Would it help to look at that graphic?
Faxes? Currently we use analog faxes, but we are looking to buy a fax solution. We didn't want to tackle that at the same time. Take away their phone and their fax machine at the same time. With Exchange 2007, we had the capability to do it with Exchange. But they took that away for 2010, and now you have to have a third-party provider.
Can you talk to your provider about getting SIP trunks directly into OCS?
Yeah, our local provider doesn't provide SIP trunks.
Who's that?
Cirrus River Telephone, just a local company.
Yeah.
But like I say, we do plan on getting SIP trunks between the university systems and the state to eliminate some long-distance costs that way. And then we could go with a national SIP trunk provider too.
We actually did a combined help desk and going forward kind of survey for all our faculty and staff, and I can make the survey results available if you want to leave your card up front. I don't have them on a slide, but from that came I just want a cell phone. I don't want a phone. I just want just give me a computer. If I can make the call right from my computer, I'm fine with that. They're pretty much ready. We did have a few people, like a couple of our athletic coaches. They would come in on the weekend, and they would look for the red blinky light that said they had a message waiting for them. That was basically the magnitude of the discomfort with changing their phone. Once we started migrating department by department, they have just started calling the help desk, when are we ready to go? So they don't have to look up a number at all anymore. They just, can go to the directory and call right from the directory, either using the ShoreTel call manager at the desktop or using Communicator. So, pretty flexible. They're pretty happy with it. We took a while to actually deploy. We're not fully deployed yet, but we're close. So, but they are an important piece. Thanks for that question.
Yeah, on our campus, the implementation went, you know, very smoothly. And really with it, like, you know, it took probably a week overall to implement it. And once we did, we were fully implemented. And corporate technology has set up a training room where all of our faculty could come in and staff and get trained on the new system. They do still have the red blinking light, so they were very happy about that. And they also have, like on their computers, they have a directory, they have personal attendant, and they can just click to call. So, I mean, most of the time you don't have to know anybody's phone number anymore, and they're very happy with the system.
OCS, how was the experience for your Mac users and your Mac faculty that just refused to have anything to do with Windows?
The communicator for Mac is limited to instant messaging, pretty much, but it still has the presence, and then they have their desk phone to use, so they can't do calling from the Mac OCS client at this time, but they are working on that.
They're essentially not unified.
They're unified in the sense that they can do, like, dialing from their computer, and their voicemail still comes through their email and plays right in there.
Will Link change that? Is the support for Mac and Linux any better with the Link product?
It is.
With the new Office upgrade for Mac, has tighter integration with OCS and unified messaging, much tighter. Yes. Yeah.
So,
it's just available now.
We haven't installed a pilot yet to the new Link server, but we have plans for that.
Do you have a question?
Where is your university located?
We're in Minot, North Dakota, just kind of in the upper middle of the state.
We had 1,200 or 1,400 TDM ports in use that looked like they were in use on our Avaya PBX that we were paying $2.63 per month per TDM port. And so we basically were told we were funded for one basic phone for each full-time employee, and that's it. So a lot of those, that usage that was we were paying for, that was not being utilized, went away with this upgrade.
Yeah, so from that, we're down to about 500 actual phones now. The rest is client only, or...
You got rid of some cost
in
the process.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, big ones that went voice over IP right away was like the call centers as far as like alumni and where they're doing outdialing and stuff like that so they can integrate with their software.
We have a
combination of both. There'd be a courtesy phone on each floor, and then for a fee, they can have a phone in their room, just an analog line.
Yeah, our vice president for student affairs, we have a population of Canadian students, and so their cell phone plans don't work well. So when they get down to the States and they try to call home, it costs them a lot of money. Plus, if they have their girlfriend from Canada who lives in the next dorm, then they don't want to use their cell phone plan to call her. So they did a survey as to the number of students that would want to have access to an analog port. And so they decided, well, we could buy, ShoreTel has certain switches that support that, 24-port analog line. So they got us a number. We told them the cost, and the student said, we'll pay for it, so they pay $7 per month for an analog port so that they can call across campus or locally, or even they can get a calling card and call home to Canada.
The number that said that they would pay for it, we got about half that many that actually signed up for it.
And at Lake Region State College, when we decided to implement unified communications, the first person I heard from was housing director, and he wanted phones in every room. So We did a survey of our students to find out if this is something that they want, because you always hear, well, students are coming to campus with their cell phones. Why would they use, you know, your phones? And 82% of them said that, you know, they would use the phones in their rooms and they would like to have that service. So we put Cisco phones in every single resident hall room, which was about, I think, 110. And they have been used quite frequently. And another nice feature of it is that when the resident hall director has an announcement to make, he can just, you know, leave a voicemail to everybody's mailbox and get in touch with those people. And the students have conference, they can do conference calls, they have voicemail, and they really are enjoying that, to have that feature on campus.
One thing about the, with our students are on live at EDU, so they have live accounts. So with ILM or with the syncing of accounts, we'll be able to federate across to their domain. We'll be able to, you know, have access to global address book and to instant messaging and some of those other communication channels.
And our communicator will talk to their messenger and vice versa. So the students will be able to see the professor's status and any other questions?
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.